Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Mem Hey. We begin at the two dots, about 7-8 lines down from the top. Mem Hey Omid Aleph. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Max Mermelstein, Matisyo Ben Shlomo. All the Nishmas we learn for Shav and Aliyah from our learning. It is Matzei Rosh Hashanah, when I'm dictating the share. I hope everybody has a Gemara Chasima Tov. I hope everybody had a wonderful Rosh Hashanah. For those who will be hearing this later in the week, so B'ezus Hashem, you should all have a good benched year. Okay, now, we pick up 7 lines from the top, Mem Hei Omid Aleph, with the two dots, Itmar. We learned in the Beis Medrash the following. Mace, if Rachman Litzlan, a man who had given Kedushin to a daughter without that father's permission, so he gave Kedushin to a Ketana without the father's permission, and then the Chosin dies, the Noflo Lifnei Echov Liyibum, the wife, this Ketana, who had accepted the Kedushin to the first husband, who Nebuch passed away, and didn't have her father's permission, now falls Yibam to her dead husband's brother. Now, v'nofel of Nei Echav Yibam, she falls to the brothers in Yibam, so Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Mema Enes Lema Moro. So Rav Huna said to Amar Rav that she has to do Miyun over here if he did Maimer to her. We've learned previously that the proper way to do Yibam is not just to go take the girl and have relations with her, but to do basically the similarity to a Kiddushin, to give her Kesef or a Shtar and do Mimer with her, and then go and have relations with her and become fully married to her in that way. So if this brother, again, Reuven, her husband, passed away, the brother Shimon now gives her Mimer, so she has to do a Miyun to that Mimer. The Eino Mima Enes Lizikoso, but she can't just do Miyun to get around having that relationship with the Yavam. She can't get out of the relationship with the Yavam by doing Miyun. If he did Maimer to her, then she has to do Miyun. And as we'll see in a second, she not only has to do Miyun, she has to have a Get, and she has to have a Chalitza as well. And we'll explain that momentarily. But for now, the Gemara is telling us that she cannot do Miyun to just the fact that she is Zekuka Liyovim. So while she could have done Miyun if it was a din of marriage to Rabbanan to her first husband, but once that husband dies and she falls into Yibum and he gives her Maimer, she must do Miyun, but she also must do other things as well. If he didn't give her Maimer, then she can't do Miyun, and that will have no effect whatsoever. Now, what are we talking about? Ketza, what is the din over here? So also, b'maimer, if the Yavam gave her Maimer, so again, her husband Reuven did Kedushin as a Ketana to this girl without the father's permission. So she's married to a certain extent, but not fully so, as we've learned previously. Now, the question is, what is that state of that marriage? Now the husband dies, and she falls Yibam to his brother. So if that brother, Shimon, gives her Maimer, so then she needs everything. Tzricha Get, she'll need a Get, because she now has the Maimer. The only way you can get around the Maimer is to get rid of that relationship with a Get. Utzricha Chalitza, because she fell Yibam, so you need Chalitza, the Get won't do it. But you also Utzricha Miyun in this situation, because there was a whole question, is this original Kiddushin a valid Kiddushin or not? And therefore the Get and the Chalitza will lead to certain problems if she does either of those, and therefore we need to do Miyun as well. We learned this yesterday, we'll learn it again in a moment, why she also has to do Miyun. The Gemara explains. Tzricha, you need all three. Tzricha Get, she needs to get a Get, because maybe Shemon is Sratza of B'kidush Sheni. Maybe the father says, hey, that Yavam, Shimon, he's a nice guy. I accept the Maimer that you took, and therefore you are now Mikudeshes on a Durabana level, because this is Maimer. And therefore, the father might accept that second Kedushin, and therefore, in order to get around that, she would need a Get in order to be divorced from that husband. Of course, she could stay married to him, that's not a problem. But if she's to withdraw from that relationship, she will need a Get for that Maimer, because maybe her father had accepted the Maimer, and therefore, there is an aspect of a Kedushin there. She will need Tzricha Chalitza, because maybe Shemon Itzratza Ha'ov B'Kedushin Rishon. Maybe the father, he never had agreed to the first Kedushin from Reuven, her first husband, but maybe he would agree to that Kedushin once he knows about it. And therefore, maybe that's a real Kedushin. And therefore, when that husband dies, so then she falls Yibam to Shimon. And therefore, the only way she can get out of that relationship is not with a Get, but with, in fact, Chalitza. So she'll need a Get, because maybe the father had accepted the second husband, the brother, Shimon's Maimer, or maybe he didn't, but he accepted the first brother's, Reuven's, her first husband's Kedushin, and therefore she'll need a Get for the Maimer, and she'll need a Chalitza for the potential Kedushin that she had, that now she fell Yavam, to the Yibam, to the second person, to the second brother, to the Yavam. And she will also need Tzricha Miyun, because as we said yesterday, Shema Lo Nisratza of Lo Biktushe Rishon or Lo Biktushe Sheni. In fact, the father says, no, they're both bums. I don't want her to marry either one of them, not the first husband, Reuven, not the second husband, Shimon. And people aren't going to know that. So therefore, Shema Lo Nisratza of Lo Biktushe Rishon or Lo Biktushe Sheni, but they're going to think, the Yomru, people are going to say, Ein Kiddushin Tovsin B'Achosa. They're not going to know that. And then, if, in fact, Shimon were to go give Kiddushin to the Ketana who had accepted the original Kiddushin, if he now gives Kiddushin to her sister, everyone would say, no, he was married to her sister. So let's get it all straight so we know everybody's names. So Reuven had married Sarah, again, without the permission of the father. Then Reuven dies, and this Sarah falls to Reuven's brother, Shimon, in Yibam, and he did Maimer to her. So he said she needs a get from Shimon, because maybe, in fact, the father agreed to the second marriage, and therefore they are married with the Maimer, and she'll need a get to get out of that. Or maybe the father agreed to the first marriage to Reuven, and therefore, when Reuven dies, she falls Yibam to Shimon, and therefore she needs a chalitza to get out of the arrangement with Shimon. But we said she also needs miyun from Shimon. The Sarah needs to give miyun to Shimon, because in case Shimon were then to go and give Kiddushin to her sister, Sarah's sister, Rivka, and he gives her Kiddushin, people say, oh no, that Kiddushin can't take effect. Ain Kiddushin Tosin Biachosa, because they say she was married already to Shimon, Sarah was married to Shimon, and therefore Rivka, Sarah's sister, can't get Kiddushin, the Kiddushin on Chal. But in fact, since Shema Lo Nisratza of Lo B'Kiddushin Rishon Lo B'Kiddushin Sheni, in fact, she was never married neither to Reuven or to Shimon, and in fact, therefore, her sister, Rivka, is allowed to go and marry Shimon. But people won't know that, and they'll say, no, they're not married. He'll have given her Kiddushin. They'll say the Kiddushin are in Chal, and then she'll go get married to somebody else when she's an Eishes Ish of Shimon. So therefore, in order to prevent that, we make her do Miyun. Once she does Miyun, everybody will realize, oh, there wasn't the real Kiddushin between either Reuven or Shimon and the first sister, Sarah. And therefore, if the second sister gets Kiddushin, everybody will know that, in fact, that Kiddushin could be Chal, and therefore, they won't say that she's not an Eishes Ish. That's the case where he did Maimer, where Shimon did Maimer, also by Maimer. Lo also by Maimer, but if Shimon didn't do Maimer, so then, Eino Tzricho Elo Chalitza Bavad, then all she needs is Chalitza. Why is that? Because in this situation, maybe there was a Yibum over there, maybe Reuven had in fact married her, and therefore she falls to Shimon in Yibum. But she'll need Chalitza, but she won't have to do Miyun, and she won't have to get a get because there was no Maimer. Now, why aren't we concerned over here as well about Ein Kiddushin Tosin Biachosa? Why aren't we concerned about that? So the Gemara says, no, my Amos, what are you going to say? Tiboy Nami Miyun, she should have to do a Miyun. Shema Yomer Ein Kiddushin Tosin Biachosa? That we should say over here, also do Miyun? No, everybody knows the Halacha. Hakol Yodim Achos Chalutza Dirabonon. Everybody knows this din, that if a girl is the achos of a chalutza, her sister had undergone chalutza, so mid araisa, they're allowed to marry. Chalitza is only mid the rabbanon that you're not allowed to marry, because it's similar to git. And people may mistakenly think, well, if you can marry achos chalutzaso, you can also marry achos girushaso. So therefore, on a derabbanon level, they said, no, you can't marry the chalutza mid the rabbanon. And this is in accord with what Reish Lakish said. The Amar Reish Lakish, kan shonor rebi achos girushaso mid araisa, Achos Chalutza Midirei Sofer. This is what Reish Lakish had said, that Rebbe had said, yes, Midaraisa, you're not allowed to marry the sister of the divorcee. So if Reuven had married Sarah, regular Din Daraisa, and then he divorced her, so he would not be allowed to go and marry Sarah's sister, Rivka. In this situation, you're not allowed to marry somebody, even though you're no longer married to them, you can't marry their sister. That erva stays in effect, unless, of course, she dies, then you'd be allowed to go and marry your sister. But if she's still alive, he wouldn't be allowed to marry her sister. That's mid araisa. Mid rabbanon, if Reuven had given chalitza to Sarah, he would be mid araisa allowed to marry her sister. But the rabbi said that looks too much like achos grushaso, so therefore they said achos chalutzaso is also mid rabbanon, midivrei sofrim. And that's a well-known din, and therefore there is no concern over here. If she got chalitza, we don't have to say, maybe people are going to say that the kiddushin isn't chal in this situation, shema yomru ain't kiddushin tosu b'achosa. No, everybody's going to know that if, in fact, this person gave kiddushin to her sister, as achos chalutzaso, everybody knows that the kiddushin will be chal, because they all know that it's only midirabbanan that they're not allowed to stay married. So therefore, there's no potential for takal over here. Another ma'aseh shoya, hanu beitrei. It was two men, the Havu Koshasu Chamer, they were drinking wine together, Tuse Tzipe Bebavol, underneath a certain type of a tree. Rashi says Tuse Tzipe means Tachas Ilone Tzavtsufa. They were drinking the wine underneath a tree known as a Tzavtsufa tree, Shehu Min Arava, which is a type of Arava, type of willow. Alternatively, Rashi says Loshen Acher Machatzolos Nisunos Algav Zizin Haboltin Birushus Rabim. They were under some sort of a canopy. There were mats placed on top of these projections into the Rishus Rabim that people would be able to stay underneath these canopies, Loshevas Tachteim Ibn Echava, and they would get shade over there. So some sort of a canopy. In any event, that's just the Maishas Shahoya. There were these two men drinking over there, and Shokal Chad Minayu Kasa Dechamra, one of the men took a glass of wine. So let's again put names to it. So Reuven took a glass of wine and gave it to Shimon, and he said to Shimon, Omar, if you accept this cup of wine, so then your daughter will be Mekudeshes to my son. Mikdesha li brateich libri. Your daughter will become Mekudeshes to my son by your accepting this glass of wine. So what's the din? Is this girl now considered to be married to his son or not? Are we choshesh for this or not? Some Ravina said, no, according to both Rav and according to Shmuel that we had previously, that said, we do have to be concerned in a situation that maybe the father does want the Kiddushin, and therefore they had said, you need to do a Tzricha Get and Tzricha Miyun, so you need to do both. They had said, you need both, and therefore, in that situation, we're concerned, Chayshin and Shemo Nisratza Av. But Ravina said, even if you hold like Rav Ushmuel, that Chayshin and Shemun Nisratza Av, that's only true in a situation where you're dealing with just the daughter. But here we turn to Memhei Omud Beis, but here, Shemun Nisratza Habain, Lo Amrin, and here, we have to be concerned that maybe the son is going to be happy about this Kiddushin. After all, the father cannot marry off his son. He can marry off his daughter, he can't marry off his son. So when Ruve gave the glass of wine to Shimon and said, let your daughter be married to my son, so Shimon has the power to marry off his daughter. But Ruve doesn't have the power to marry off his son, and therefore even Rav Ushmuel, who say that Shemun Isratza Ha'av, do not hold Shemun Isratza Ha'bein. That, Lo Amrina, that they don't say. More questions, and says, Amrile Rabbanu L'Ravina. Ravina was the one that said this din, and the Rabbanan questioned Ravina, and they said, Medumo Shaliach Shavya. How do you know that the son didn't make his father into a shaliach, and therefore the father does have the right to marry off his son, and therefore Reuven could accept the Kiddushin on behalf of his son, and therefore when he gave the cup to Shimon, so Shimon said, okay, my daughter will be married to your son. So Reuven was acting as a shaliach for his son, and in fact the son is married. Why don't we say that? Vidum shavi shaliach. So the Gemara says, lo chotzef inish l'shavi avu l'shaliach. Nobody would have the chutzpah to ask the father to be a shaliach for them in such a fashion. Where it says, okay, but maybe Vidilmo Artsuye Artsuye Kame. Maybe the father and son had been talking about Shiduchin. And Reuven had approached the son and said, would you be interested in this girl, in Shimon's daughter? And Reuven's son said, oh boy, wouldn't I? Of course I would love to marry you. So, in other words, as Rashi says, Zoch liyodim shalom b'fanav. Since Reuven knew his son was interested in this girl, so by making the Kiddushin on behalf of his son, he was doing a favor for his son. So why don't we say that? So Gemara says, Amalei Rabba Barsimi. So Rabba Barsimi said, Beferish Omar Mar, Delo Sar Elha, De Rabu Shmuel. So Rabba Barsimi said that I know that Ravina, when he made his din, and he said, Shemun Isratza Bein Lo Amrinan, he says, I don't hold like Rabu Shmuel. So I don't hold that maybe Shemun Isratza Ha'ab. So I certainly don't say Shemun Isratza Bein, because I don't hold like them at all. So Ravina didn't hold like this at all, and therefore we don't have to worry that maybe the father was doing the son a favor. Zoch Liyodim Shalom B'Fonav. Where continues, says, how Gabra the Kaddish bechisha the Yarka b'shuka. There once was a man that was Bekaddish, a girl who was a Ketana, without the father's permission. And how did he do this Kedushin? He gave her Kisha the Yarka. Rashi explains that Kisha the Yarka is aguda. It's a small little bundle of vegetables. And this was Kedushin for a Ketana, Shalola Dasa Vihavoy. So he gave her this little bundle of vegetables to be the Kedushin for this Ketana, without her father's permission. And on this case, Omer Ravina, even according to Rav and Shmuel, that say normally we are concerned that the father would maybe want the Kiddushin, and therefore, Tzricha Get, Tzricha Miyun, but here, absolutely not. Even Rav and Shmuel would say, Ravina says, Hani Mili Derech Kovot. The only time that Rav and Shmuel said that Choshishin then maybe the father wants a kedushin if it was done b'chavadik away, if it was a nice derech kavod, so he gave her a nice diamond ring, so maybe he thought then that was a good kedushin. However, avo derech bizayon, but if it's a derech bizayon by giving her a bundle of vegetables, lo, no father would want that, even if you hold the Shemun Isratza Av, like Rabbi Shmuel do hold, but that's only if it's a b'chavadik type of a kedushin, but not if it's a bizayon type of a kedushin like this. So now they ask the question, Amalei Rav Acha Midifti L'Ravina. So Rav Acha Midifti said to Ravina, what is the bizoyon over here? Bizoyon demai. What exactly was the bizoyon in getting this vegetable? Do we say it was e bizoyon diyarka? It's the fact that these are vegetables, and that's the bizoyon? Or do we say, no, the vegetables aren't the bizoyon, e bizoyon de shuka? The fact that he gave it to her in the marketplace, that's a pasnish to go and marry this girl in the marketplace. It's not a b'chavadika place. No, what's the nafkamina between the two choices? If it's a bizoyin the arko or bizoyin the shuka. So the nafkamina, the Gemara says, is the kadesh bechaspa b'shuka. He gave her something very valuable. He gave her a diamond ring. He gave her kaspa, kesef, or silver. He gave her something chashuv, but he gave it to her in the shuk. So if you're telling me it's because it was a bundle of vegetables, so then this isn't a bundle of vegetables. This is kaspa. So therefore, it would be a good kiddushin if you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, that Shema Nisratza Av, so then, if he gave her Kesef, albeit in the Shuk, you have to be concerned. Or do we say, no, it was Bekisha Diyarka, that was vegetables that he gave her, but the Besa, he didn't give it to her in the Shuk, and he gave it to her in a Bechadidika place, like the house. So that's the question that was being asked to Ravina. The Nafkamina would be, if you give Kesef in the Shuk, or if you give the bundle of vegetables in the house. So each of them has a positive aspect and a negative aspect. The kesef in the shuk, well, it was kesef, but it's in the shuk. And the vegetables, well, it's vegetables, but it's in the house. So what's the halacha? That's the question that was asked to Ravina. Amalei, Ravina told the person, in both cases, idi v'idi, derech bizayin hu. There's no way that even Rav Shmuel, who say, Shemun Esratza Ab, does apply, they would never say it if it was a derech bizayin. And it doesn't have to be a full derech bizayin. It doesn't have to be vegetables in the marketplace. It would be bad enough if it was vegetables in the house, or if it would just be in the marketplace, albeit with something like kesef, either of them would be a derech bizayin, and there's no way that the father would be happy with this, and therefore, even though Rav Shmuel holds Shemun Esratza Ab, they would never say so in such a case. Another Baisa Shoya. How do Amar Likrivoy? He Amra Likriva. There was a husband and a wife, and they had a daughter, and they each wanted to marry her off to members of their own family. So the father, the husband, he wanted to go and marry off his daughter to his relatives. He had a second cousin. He wanted to marry her. And the wife, the mother of the girl, she said, no, I'd like to marry her off to my family. I got a second cousin, and I'd like them to marry. So therefore, they were having a discussion as to who their daughter should marry. And the husband gave in to the wife, like a good husband should do, and kifate ad amalo tehebe likriva. So she convinced him eventually. She was able to go and get him to see her side. As Rashi says, hachrichaso v'hodalo lesita likrova. She was doing this, it says on the side, bidvarim. She convinced him, she talked him into it, and saying, let's go and marry my relative. And they agreed, the husband agreed, that they would marry her second cousin. And that would be the chasen for their daughter. V'asu su'uda l'chibas chisun, and they made a su'uda for this marriage. V'zimnu es kroveim, and they invited all the relatives. Nu, while they're at this su'uda, ada ochle v'shase, you know what? Somebody goes up to this girl without the permission of the father. Also kreve, his relative, his second cousin, the father's second cousin, goes up to the girl, Be'igra. Rashi says that's in the Baliyah, in the attic, the Kitcha. And he gave this girl Kedushin. And Rashi says, Beseser, in secret, Va'adayin lo kibelo av Kedushin, Mikor Shalishto. Meanwhile, the husband hadn't gotten the Kedushin money, he hadn't gotten the Kesef Kedushin from his wife's second cousin who wanted to marry his daughter. So now, the question is, this daughter had accepted Kedushin from the husband's relatives, from the father of the girl's relatives. And therefore, the question is, did he now retract his earlier agreement with his wife that the daughter of them would marry her relatives? And now, when his relative gave her Kedushin, albeit without his permission, did he now say Nisratze Ha'av, and therefore he now accepts this Kedushin? So we give the same answer, but two different reasons. The first answer is Abaye. I'm Abaye. Abaye says, no. The Pasuk tells us, Kesiv She'eris Yisrael Lo Yasu Avlo. V'lo yidabru chazov. This is a pasuk in Sefania, which says that the Klai Yisrael will not do such a avlo, will not do a sin, and they won't say lies. In other words, he told his wife, this father told his wife, that our daughter is going to marry your relative, the wife's second cousin, and not his second cousin. And therefore, there's no way he's going back on his word. He said it, he's going to do it, and a word is a word, and therefore he's not going back. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned, even though Rav Shmuel say, maybe Nisrat Sahab, in this situation, there's no way he would lie, because that's what would have to be, and there's no way he would go back on his word. Since the Nishar Mitzvah, the Halacha, brings down the Chasam Sofer, says that was then. But nowadays, it's unclear if people would be so honest. And therefore, he says, Hare Hasheker Nisraba V'Nisgadel Ad Ma'ot Nebuch. That already in the times of Chasam Sofer, 200 years ago, he said that people, unfortunately, don't have the same ethics. Their word doesn't mean anything. And well, at the time of the Gemara, the guy said, no, I'm going to let my daughter marry my wife's relatives. So even though somebody came along and gave Kiddushin to, from his side of the family to the daughter, there's no way the father would want that. So we don't have to be concerned of Shema Nisratza or Av in this situation. That's Abaye's answer, based upon honesty. You wouldn't want to tell a lie, and that's what would be over here. Rava gives a different answer, the same conclusion, that the girl is, we don't have to say Shema Nisratza, the girl's not considered married to the father's relative, but for a different reason. Rava Mar, Chazoka ein adam toreach besuda umafsida. This hosuda was a vart. This was basically them agreeing that we're going to get married, and therefore he wouldn't have been toreach to make such a suda and then go and break it. Gemara says, "My benai, was there a nafkamina between these two? The two reasons: Abaye's reasoning that a person wouldn't lie, and Rava's reasoning the person wouldn't be toreach to make a suda." Gemara says, "Yeah, there's a big nafkamina. Ika benayu, the nafkamina would be the lo toreach. He didn't make a suda. They just got together for coffee and a cake, so there isn't a big suda. So if you're telling me, like Rava said, that a person wouldn't be toreach b'suda masida, we didn't make a suda, so maybe in this situation we would say shemu nisratza av. Whereas Abaye would say, no, it has to do with lying. It has nothing to do with the suda, and therefore he wouldn't go and lie, and therefore the concern of Shem and Nisrat Sa'av would not apply in this situation. It's interesting, the Shar Mitzvah B'Halacha brings down the Mari Bruna, who says this is the source, our Gemara is the source of making a Sudas Tanoim, especially among the Hasidic communities. So they have a Sudas Tanoim where they get together and they agree that your son is going to marry my daughter, and in that situation, it is the responsibility of the Hore HaKala, the parents of the Kala, to go and pay for it. So therefore, this is a set type of a Suda based upon our Gemara that the custom was that they would go and do. Okay. Mark continues and says, what happens in the following case? Niskacho l'da sovia. A woman who was a ketana got engaged, and her father agreed to it. So this woman is now halachically engaged. V'holach ovia l'bedina siyam. Then her father goes away. He's off on a business trip someplace. And meanwhile, she gets married. She's tired of waiting for her father to come back. V'omda v'nises. Now, she goes and marries her chosan. They had the first stage of marriage, the Erishin stage, which was under the supervision or the permission of her father. But the second stage, when they went to Nisuin, it wasn't with the knowledge of her father. So what's the halach in this situation? Omar Rav, if this chosin was a kohen, Rav says, ocheles b'truma, she's allowed to go and eat truma. We know that midah raisa, you're allowed to eat truma even after the erisin. But the rabbi said, no, we don't allow you to do that because she's not living yet with her chosin, and he's going to give her a peanut butter sandwich that's truma. She's going to bring it back home to her house where she lives, and she's going to share it with her brother or sister, and they're going to be zarim that are eating truma. So the rabbi said, no, until you're living together after nisuin, even though midah raisa, you're considered kinyan kaspo, and you're allowed to go and have an arusa eat truma, the rabbi said, no, until you're in a suah, you can't eat truma. So Rav said, in this situation, she's now in a suah, because mid-daraisa, she could eat it anyway. And the whole concern was, maybe she's going to give some truma, the peanut butter sandwich, to her brother or sister. Well, she's not living with them anymore, so therefore there is no such concern. And the concern as well about maybe her husband will find a mum, and therefore that's the other reason why we don't allow her to eat, mishum simpon, that maybe the husband didn't notice this mum, and once he finds out about this mum, he's not going to marry her. And therefore, she will be, in retrospect, a czar that was eating truma. So we don't have to be concerned about that because she was taken in through nisuin. So if there is a simpon, if there's some sort of a problem, he would know about it. And there's no concern that she'll go and give some peanut butter sandwich to her brother and sister because she's not living with them. So therefore, according to Rav, if in this situation the husband gives her truma, she's allowed to eat ocheles b'truma till ad if her father then comes back and says, what? I didn't want you to really marry him, and therefore I'm not in favor of this nisuin, so then she would have to stop eating truma. But there was no problem, because technically, even if she does stop from now on, going forward, there's no problem of retroactively that she ate the truma as a zar, because midaraisa, she was allowed to eat truma, because that's the halacha, midaraisa, you can eat after erusin. That is the opinion of Rav. Ravasi disagrees. Ravasi Amar, no, enonech ochelas, she's not allowed to eat truma, even though she underwent nisuin. And the father would agree to the erusin, he wasn't around for nisuin, but we don't let her go and eat truma now. Why? Because shema yovi aviyimcha, maybe her father's going to come back and say, hey, I didn't really want you to marry him. And therefore, it will turn out in retrospect, v'nin says zara ochelas v'truma l'mafreya. It will turn out in retrospect that she's eating truma when she wasn't allowed to, because if he divorces her, she's, in retrospect, not a Kohanis. Now, Tosus points out that really she was allowed to eat truma. So when we say over here, Nim says Zora Ocheles Mitruma Mafreya, it means Midi Rabbanan. And Tosus, Dibra Masa, within says, he says, Nira de Zora de Noka, that which we use the language over here, Zora, Lo Kamar Shetehe Zora Midaraisa. That's not a real din daraisa. Shari min haTorah, as I pointed out, arusa ochalas v'truma. She's allowed to, but it's only because of the two concerns of simpon, or she's going to give the peanut butter sandwich to her brother and sister. Elo zara midirabbanan. So here we're talking about a zara midirabbanan. And that's the language that we're using over here to say that Ravasi holds that it will turn out in retrospect that she's a zara midirabbanan, ochalas v'truma l'mafreya. Nu, the Gemara says, Hava uvda, there once was such a maisa, where a man married a ketana with the permission of her father, but then the father went away, and then the nisuin took place without the permission, without the knowledge of the father, and Rav was asked to paskin, could she or could she not eat truma? And Rav had just told us a minute ago, ocheles v'truma achi yavo avi v'yimcha. However, there was a maisa shahaya haba uvda v'chosh lo Rav l'hod Ravasi. Rav, who had paskined differently than Ravasi, did a chumra over here, and he paskined like Ravasi and didn't let her eat truma. Now, why not? So Tosu says, in Dibra Maskel, Haba Uvda, and he tells a very important idea. He says, Nira the halacha ki Rav Asi. It seems like the halacha should be like Rav Asi, because Rav seems to have retracted his position and paskin like Rav Asi. The hahode be Rav. However, Ach Rabbeinu Tam pasak kilchus ki Rav. No, that wasn't a retraction, and in fact, Rabbeinu Tam paskin like Rav, because Shari Rav Asi hoya tabido. Rav Asi was the Talmud of Rav. When usually you have a machlok between a Rav and a Talmud, halacha kediri a Rav. We pass it like the Rav, be amoroi rishonim, only in the original amoroim, until the time of Abaye v'Rava, Adabaye v'Rava. At that point in time, we say halacha kibasroi. We pass it like the later one. Abu mikav elach, after Abaye and Rava, poskin paskinon kibasroi. We have the rule of paskining like the latter of the two, when there's a machlokis. Because we then say, Lefisha Dikdiku Yosef and Rishonim. They knew the opinions of the Rishonim, and yet they changed it and held differently than them. They must have looked into the sugya well, and Lahamin Alocha Al Bore. And therefore, they were able to paskin more correctly than their Rabbeim, the earlier generation. And therefore, we normally hold Halochi Basrai, but that's only from the time of Abaye and Rav and onwards. Before then, we paskin like the Rebbe over the Talmud. So therefore, we paskin like Rav over Ravasi. Rav seemed to follow Ravasi. Even though Rav seemed to be concerned in this case, like for Ravasi's opinion, nevertheless, Mishum Hochid lo chazabo, he didn't retract his opinion. This was just a chumra that he took. Kimosha Matsino Perkam of the Megillah, like it says there in the first parak of Megillah. Amar Rav, Megillah Bismano B'Yochid. Rav, they had said that if you're reading the Megillah in the right time, even a Yochid can read it, you don't need a minion. However, Shalom Bismana, the first mission of Megillah, talks about sometimes you read the Megillah on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, so when you're reading it not Bismana, then you must read it with a minion, Biasara. Where Ravasi said, Amar Echozeh V'Echozeh Biasari. Ravasi there had differed than Rav and said that you need to have a minion at all the times. And Maisa Shah, you have Uvda, V'chosh Lo Rav, L'ho the Ravasi. The once was such a Maisa, and Rav said, no, wait till you get a minion rather than reading it by yourself. V'afilu Hochi, kind of like a Rav. But there, we also pass it like Rav. Because the Rav Yochanan, Kaikavasi, because Rav Yochanan also pass it like Rav. In Perak Beis, the Megillah. The Amr of Chia, Bar Abba, Amr of Yochanan, Hakori Megillah, Aksuvim, Ben Aksuvim. If you're reading from Megillah that is written in between other Ksuvim, Lo Yotza. That's not good. It has to be a separate Megillah. U'machule, and they told him, no, that's not correct. Lo shanu ela b'tzibur. That's only in the tzibur. Mipnei kov tzibur, because it's not proper for the tzibur not to have a kosher megillah. Avo yochid by yourself. Lo, that's not a problem. Alma Mashma the Pumin Korin or Sobiyachit. So you see clearly from there that you do. Rabbi Yochanan holds it, you can read it as a Yochid, Bainu Bismana Kirav. And that's talking about when it was on the 14th day and the right time, like Rav did a Yochid can read it. So therefore we learn out from the Tosfos that even though Rav over here had done a chumrah to be concerned in this situation, for Ravasi's opinion, that's not the way that Rabbeinu Tam paskened. Okay. In any event, now continuing the Gemara. So we have this machlokes between Rav and Ravasi, and the Gemara says, Omer Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok. Rav Shmuel, who was the son of Rav Yitzchok, said that even Rav would agree, Umo de Rav, Shemesa, in this situation where the husband married this girl, the Ketana, with the permission of the father, but then they did the Nisuin when the father wasn't there, and then, in this situation, if she were to die, so then this husband wouldn't inherit her. Umo de Rav, Shemesa, Eino Yorsha. Why not? Because, in this situation, we're not sure what the father wanted, and therefore, okay, Mamona, Becheskas Mari. So you leave everything where it is. And the father would inherit his daughter, and not the husband, under normal circumstances of just Erisin. So therefore, since we don't know that the father would have wanted the Kiddushin to go to Nisuin, that Nisuin should be effective, so therefore you leave things the way they are, and Moderav, Shemesa, Eino Yarsha, because okay, Mamona, Becheskas Mari, we leave things the way they are. Okay. More tells us another case, Niskacho Lidas. A girl who was a ketana got married the first stage with her father's permission. However, the nises shelo kedas, but then the nisuin took place without her father's permission. But here it's different. In the other case, we had the father went off to the medina sayam, but here via kan, the father is here, so he knew about this. He just didn't say he was in favor of it or he wasn't in favor of it. So what's the halacha? So here we have a machlokis, Rav Huna and Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Rav Huna says, Eina ocheles. In this situation, she cannot eat truma. And we'll see why in a moment. Whereas Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba omar ocheles, that she is allowed to go and eat the truma in this situation as a nesuah. Now, some have the gears of Rabbi Yirmiyahu, and Tosus on Mem Vav Amud Aleph says, we're not sure who this Rav Yirmiyahu was, because here we're seeming to say that he's a Talmud of Rav Huna, and elsewhere we see that he's a contemporary of Rav, who was a generation earlier than Rav Huna. So impossible that there's more than one Rav Yirmiyahu, or maybe this is Rabbi Yirmiyahu. In any event, we have the machlokas over here between Rav Huna and this Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. There, Rav Huna says she's not allowed to eat truma in this situation, and Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba says she's allowed to eat truma. What's going on? So Rav Huna Amar Eino Ocheles. Rav Huna says she's not allowed to eat truma over here. And this goes afilu l'Rav, who in the previous situation said the Amar Ocheles, when the father had been off in the Medina Sayam. So Rav says we can presume that the father would have wanted this Nisuin to take place by the fact that he had agreed to the Kiddushin. So Mestaba, he would have wanted the Nisuin, and therefore she's allowed to go and eat the truma. But Rav Huna says, in this situation, when the father was in the same city and he didn't mention yes or no, Afilu Rav would say in that situation, who had said previously that she would be allowed to eat truma, would say in this situation that she can't eat truma. Hasam hu de lo isei la'av. In the previous situation, the father wasn't there, so therefore we presume that he would have wanted the kiddushin to go on to nisuin because he'd agreed to the kiddushin. Aval hach in this situation, the isei la'av, the father is there in town, and they got married, the second stage, the nisuin, without basically inviting him, without basically telling him, we're doing this. So the fact that he's silent, hayde ishtik, it's mirtach rosach. He's burning up. He is very, very angry. He is boiling over this. And therefore, one has to presume, Rav Huna said, that even Rav, who said in the previous case, when the father's in Medina Sayam, Mestama, the father would have wanted it, here for the fact that he is in town. So he's obviously just boiling mad, and that's why he didn't say anything. And therefore, she's not considered married nisuin. And then the basic din says that midrabbanan, we don't allow an arusa to go and eat truma. On the other hand, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba amar ocheles, he says she can eat. Why? He says this is even apilu Ravasi, when the previous case said the amar eino ocheles. In the previous situation, Ravasi said no. We have to be concerned that maybe the father didn't want the nisuin, and therefore she can't eat truma. Here he says he can't eat truma. Why? Because in that case, Hasam, hu deshema yavo aviyav yimcha. Because there, maybe the father will come back and say, I can't believe you got married. I didn't want you to get married to the second stage. I wanted you to wait 5 more years. I didn't want you to get married now. And therefore, maybe the father will go and protest. So that's why Ravasi said, in that situation, you can't eat until you know for sure that the father doesn't protest. But here, avohacha, the father's around. Midishasik, he was quiet. So therefore, it must be, not that Mirtach Rosach, like Rav Huna had said, but Isnuche Isnecha Le. The fact that he was silent means that he's agreeing to it. He says, for whatever the reason, okay, no problem. You can now be considered married. I'm not protesting it. If I protested it, that would be different. But he was silent, and that means, according to Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, that he was agreeing with it. So two different ways of looking at it. Funa says he's boiling mad, and Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba says his silence essentially means that he was in agreement. Now the following case, Niskacha Shalom L'Dasavia, the girl got the first stage of marriage without her father's permission. She's a Ketana, and she accepted the Kiddushin, which she's not really allowed to do, and it didn't have her father's permission. And then she went on and got the second stage of marriage, V'nisa Shalom L'Das. Now, the Aviyah Kat, her father is in the city. So here we have Rav Huna Omar Ocheles. Rav Huna, somewhat paradoxically here, says that she is able to go and eat Truma. And Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba here says, Omar Eino Ocheles, Pum Faker. Seems to be the exact opposite. So Gemara says, Amar Ula, Ula says, Ha the Rav Huna, that which Rav Huna said over here, that she is allowed to go and eat it. And in the previous case he said, Eino Ocheles, so it doesn't make any sense. What Rav Huna says is, Kichometz Lashinayim Uche Oshon Loinayim. This is a pasuk in Mishlei that he's basically paraphrasing, and he's saying that it's detrimental. Vinegar is not good for the teeth, it hurts the teeth, and smoke is not good for the eyes, it hurts the eyes. So this svara that Rav Huna is saying over here, that when the father didn't agree to the Kiddushin or the Nisuin, she's allowed to eat, doesn't make any sense. When Rav Huna had said before that the father agreed to the Kiddushin but not the Nisuin, ain't no ocheles. So what's going on? That's what Ula says. Hashta uma hasam the Kiddushin daraisa. Amris lo akla, in the previous case where the father had agreed to the Kiddushin. So she's married off on a Daraisa level, on a Nerusa level. So this Kiddushin, that's Daraisa. And nevertheless, Rav Huna said, lo akla, the father's around in the city when they got the second stage of marriage. Rav Huna said, you're not allowed to eat, ain't no chalas, because he says, hai the ishtik mirsach rosach. So certainly, hocha, lo koshike, here, stage of marriage. So what's the hot thing that in this situation, Rav Huna would say that you're allowed to go and eat truma? It doesn't make any sense. And therefore, we turn to Mem Vav and Aleph, and it says, the Gemara says, near and dear Talmud. It looks like the words of the Talmud, who Rashi says, is Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, so he is correct. And the words of the Rebbe, Rav Huna, are incorrect. Gemara says, not so fast. Amar Rava, Rava says, no. My time of the Rav Huna. What's the rationale of Rav Huna? He's not incorrect. It's not a strange thing. It's not like vinegar for the teeth and smoke for the eyes. You know why in this situation, where it's somewhat of a paradox, where the father didn't agree to the Kiddushin or the Nisuin, hold the Nasaba Maisa Yisoma B'chayah. You know what happened over here? The father didn't say anything. So it's as if the father basically said, she's not my daughter. As Rashi says, B'chayah Kidsha V'hisiyah Atzma. She herself took Kiddushin and Nisuin while her father's around. And Shalom Daito, he didn't say anything. Ki'ilu hi yisoma. So it's as if she's a yisoma. The father says, I don't want to be involved in this. V'ura, the father saw all this, v'shasach, he didn't say anything. Either that, o hifkir zichus. He said, okay, you have the right to go marry off yourself. I'm taking away my right to be responsible for you. She'eh shloba, that which he had in her, he gave it up. Or, o shtikasa, or his silence is essentially hodah. Dibishloma niskacho l'daito, as opposed to the case where he agreed to the Kiddushin. And then the nise shalola daito, so that's a chutzpah, ikla meimar, bechodo shtika mirsach rosach. Then the second one, how dare you get married the second stage without letting me be there or knowing about it and giving permission? So therefore he's boiling mad. Abukule hai, to be, so to say, so uninvolved and yet be mad. He wasn't uninvolved in the Kiddushin, and he's uninvolved in the Nisuin. And now you're saying he's mad? No, he obviously just wasn't involved. And therefore, it's not a paradox to say the Rav Huna says in the second case that we just brought down that she can eat Truma, whereas in the first case he said you can't eat Truma. Mark continues. Let's already go to the Mishnah. We'll go down a little bit further instead of stopping over here by the two dots. Itmar. We learned in the base Medrash, Kitano Sheniskacha Shalola Dasavina. If a young girl, a Kitana, got married, Kiddushin, the first stage of marriage, without her father's knowledge. So Amar Rav, Rav said, Bein hi ubein avia yecholin liakev. So then, she can change her mind, so to say. She could do miyun. Or the father can say, no, I don't want this. And her Kiddushin as a ketana is worthless. Ravasi Amar avia velohi. Ravasi says, her father can stop the Kiddushin from taking effect, but she accepted it. She can't go and stop it from taking effect. More questions this and says, really? Esi Rav Huna Ravasi. Rav Huna asked Ravasi, the Amrile was chia bar Rav, who said to Ravasi, it was Rav's son, Chia, who said to Ravasi. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, Imo'ein, Imo'ein, Ovi Olasi Talo, Kesef Yishkol Kimor Habitzulos. So it says over here, this double loshon Mo'ein Yimo'ein. If the girl's father refuses to give this girl to the man who Rachmon Lislan seduced her, so then there's the 50 shkolim penalty that he has to pay. Now, Ein Li'el Aviyah, it seems to imply in Mo'ein Yimo'ein Aviyah, if the father doesn't want her to get married to the man that seduced her, so then there's the 50 penalty. He atzma minayin. How do we know that she also can say, I don't want to marry that guy, and then there'll be the 50 penalty, the 50 shekel penalty. He atzma minayin. Tamadom, because it says the double loshon, im mo'ein, yimo'ein, mikomakom. It implies both the father or the daughter. So that goes exactly like the opinion of Rav, and it's a kasha on Ravasi. So where it says, Amlu Rav, Rav himself answers to Ravasi. We find this all the time, that rather than being happy that he won, quote, Rav wants the halacha l'maisa. He says, that's not a good proof. Amlu Rav, Rav told either his son Chia, or if it was Rafuna, his Talmud, so he told him that's not a good proof. Lo tezlu basar ifcha. You can't go after something that is not correct. And in fact, it's the opposite. Yocho l'shanu yelichu, because Ravasi could respond to your proof against him, kigon shepito shelo l'shum ishus, that this seduction that took place over here that led us to the whole question of the 50 shkolim, so it wasn't l'shem ishus. He just had relations with her, but it wasn't l'shem ishus. And therefore, in this situation, there was no kiddushin at all, and that's why the girl can't protest the kiddushin, only the father can. Mor says, what? Pita, shelo l'shem ishus, krua boy, would you need a pasuk to tell me this? And what do you mean that the father in that situation would go and say, no, I don't accept the kiddushin? What kiddushin? There is no kiddushin over here. So the worry answers, Amr of Nachman bar Yitzchok, he's teaching us over here, Lomar Shemishalim Knas Kimifuta. In this situation, even if the girl never goes and says that she wants to marry this man, so nevertheless, he still has to pay the fine that the Torah says for this seducing a woman. And the Gemara says, Omale Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Ihachi Hainu Tanina. If this is the answer, so then it is in accord with that which we learned in the following Brisa. The pasuk says, "Mahar yimhareno lo liisha." In this situation, the girl who is seduced, the father can go and force this seducer to go and marry his daughter. And this pasuk, "Mahar yimhareno lo liisha," the mohar habesulos shetzricha emenu kiddushin. He has to go and give her kiddushin. Now, wait a second. Vimpito l'shum ishus. If in fact he had seduced her in order to go and marry her, so then kiddushin lomali. So then, why would he need a new kiddushin now? The original bia should have been sufficient to go and make kiddushin. So therefore, you see that it wasn't l'shem ishus, it was l'shem just relations, and therefore Ravasi could have given the teretz. Abai says no. Amalei Abai says no, that's not a good teretz. Tzricha kiddushin l'das aviyah. You need over here possibly kiddushin because this is now, for the first time, the father is now accepting this. Before, she had done it, but her actions are nothing. So here, in this situation, tzricha kiddushin l'das aviyah. You need to have kiddushin that is agreed to by the father. So even if the seducer over here in this situation had done it l'shem ishus, so nevertheless, you could still require a new kiddushin for the father to have the kiddushin, as opposed to the girl agreeing to the kiddushin. And therefore, this is not a good proof that Rav Yosef is bringing down here to support the statement of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Okay, this is a good breakpoint. With this, we conclude today's shir. And again, I'm dictating this. Matzi Rosh Hashanah. Everyone should have a Gemar Chasima Tova. Kol Tov.